When planning to invest in property, people tend to think about where should I buy, what should I buy, how much can I afford, but often they don't think about who should I ask for advice. Since investing in property is a significant financial and personal decision, it's really important to make wise decisions, and it's really important to get the right advice early in the piece, because getting it wrong can result in significant financial loss, emotional stress, and a huge lost opportunity. And if you're in the middle of your property investment journey, it's still critical to get advice to make sure you're heading in the right direction. So, who do you ask for advice? And with so many mixed messages and vested interests out there, who can you really trust? Well, that's the conversation I have today with Brett Warren, National Director of Metropole Properties and one of my business partners. I hope at the end of today's show, you're going to have more clarity in your options and who you can ask for advice and what you can expect from your advisors. But just as importantly, we hope to show you what you shouldn't expect for them to do for you. And of course, I'm going to share my regular mindset message with you. So I'm sure today's show is going to be beneficial for all property investors, not just those getting into the market, even for established investors. So welcome to today's show.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropole, who specialize in helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
Property markets are booming at present, but we know not all markets are going to perform the same over the long term. So as a property investor, who do you turn to when looking for advice? Well, a better question maybe, with so many mixed messages and so many vested interests, who can you really trust? Now, that's the conversation I'd like to have with Brett Warren, one of my business partners and National Director of Metropole Property Strategists. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Michael. Good to be with you. And look, you're right. In today's property market, there's very few advisors that have the perspective of having lived through and successfully invested in a number of property cycles and who understand how to take advantage of this current stage of the cycle. But there seems to be a new breed of so-called property experts, I guess, emerging. And I guess that worries both of us, Michael.
Look, you're right, Brett. Let's be frank, the threshold to be able to call yourself an expert, that's very low nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, look, usually experts have years or, look, I'd probably say decades, to be honest, decades of experience in their chosen profession. They're at the top of their industry and they shape the path of progress. They've had those 10,000 hours that we've kind of talked about previously in other podcasts.
Yeah.
But there's no shortage of property experts. I know you like to say, Michael, there's 25 million property experts in Australia, and that's a phrase we use quite often. But they seem to have very little perspective. They may have done an online course and all of a sudden they're popping up being a property expert. And sure, look, they've really loved property. They may have followed property and followed other people for decades, but they've only really bought one or two properties. They've never had that on-the-ground perspective and experience to, I guess, be labelled an expert.
You're right. The rise of so-called advisors, because there's lots of people advising now, coincides with the practice of personal branding on social media. Social media's undoubtedly been a fantastic opportunity for real estate experts to connect, to share their knowledge. We have the podcast and YouTube and Instagram, but it's also opened up a floodgate for a tsunami of self-titled property experts looking to flog their books, their consulting sessions, their training programs or their online courses. But we know, we've spoken about it before, since most property investors fail to achieve the financial freedom they deserve, we know that less than 8% of investors over the long term ever get past their second property. I guess it's back to my original question then. So who should you ask for advice, Brett?
Well, look, let me start with a different answer, I guess. Let's discuss who they could ask for property investment advice. So let's talk about, you know, some of the people that they could ask for advice in today's market.
Well, I know that once a year we run our property investment sentiment survey, and you and I unpacked it at the end of last year, and we saw there was a range of people who they suggested, as Aussies said, these are who they ask for advice. And one of them, the scary one, is no one. Many beginning investors think they understand real estate because they've lived in a house, they've rented a house, they've rented an apartment, But Brett, my one, that's a big mistake. And it's probably one of the reasons that I don't know, around 50% of first-time investors sell up in the first 5 years. Look, they may know their local neighbourhood, but that's very different to understanding the property market.
Look, I'd also add to that, Michael, some people actually think they know everything and they don't ask for advice either. So they turn to no one because they know it all. Yet they don't have the experience, the perspective. And as you said before, that's another reason why they don't get to that next level as an investor.
Right. They also ask friends and family. Now, I understand why you do this, but the question is, are they financial experts? How many millionaires have you got in your family? And if not, don't ask them, because often the advice they're going to give you at the moment is tainted with their views of, oh, the property market's too hot now. Wait, Brett, only last week, my sister, who's going to borrow a little bit more to invest in this market, went to her bank manager. And her bank manager, I don't know that you got bank managers anymore, but the guy at the bank said to her, don't buy now. The market's too hot. Wait till next year, till it gets cheaper. What sort of advice is that? I mean, that's why I know we believe you should go to mortgage brokers to get loans, but I'm not sure you should even ask your mortgage broker about investment advice.
Well, no, not unless they're, like we said before, they're very experienced investors and they're experts themselves, which very few are. Obviously, those types of people are probably getting secondary information and flashes of news headlines here and there, and they don't really have that on-the-ground perspective, that decades of investing through multiple cycles we were talking about.
Well, they probably only also know one market, their local area, and that's much the same as the real estate agent, isn't it? Remember, they're working for the vendor. So I know a lot of potential buyers think the agent's helping them, working for them. They are helping them to try and get the deal, but their obligation is to help the seller, the vendor, and they're unlikely to tell you about great properties for sale, even in the same suburb, by other agents. And then, of course, people ask their accountant, but their accountant's should be giving you advice on tax matters, on structuring. But most, again, like you said, don't have the intimate knowledge, the perspective of what's happening in the property markets around Australia.
Yeah. And look, Michael, I often get clients sit in front of me saying that their accountant has advised them to buy a property for depreciation or for tax benefits. Or look, I think there's important considerations, but that's not a strategy. That's not a reason to be investing. And again, there's some of the serious mistakes that people make.
Well, that's actually an interesting point. You actually should start with a strategy. And buying a property is not a strategy. It's a small part of the, well, it's an important part of the strategy. So don't ask your accountant. Don't ask financial planners. Most are licensed, well, they're not almost, they are licensed to sell financial products, but most aren't able to advise on real estate, not only because they lack the understanding, but the company they work for doesn't allow them to do that. And those who do recommend real estate usually have got a biased view because it's based on commissions they get from selling somebody else's stock.
Yeah, look, and we've always talked about this, the off the plan or the house and land and things like that. And that's the way financial planners are remunerated, whether it's stocks or property. They're not remunerated as such for their client, but they're remunerated for, I guess, the product they're selling. And that's not the way to do it either.
That's a good point, Brett, because I think one of the questions when you ask advice, and you should ask advice, and you should be prepared to pay advice is, how do you get paid? Who pays you? And if you don't have to pay for the advice, Brett, somebody else is, which means you're the product. You're not the client because they're selling somebody else's services. You're the product that they're selling the lead to their marketer or to whoever. So cheap advice is very expensive in the long term.
Yeah, good point, Michael. And look, it's the same with the property marketers. You know, these people are probably more salespeople. I think, you know, if you ever sit down with someone to talk about property and they start off by selling you a property or the product, yeah, you're probably in the wrong place.
Yeah, they've really got to find out more about you. They've got to work out where you want to go. They've got to start with the big picture in mind. Now, I remember in the old days there were property seminars and workshops. They're not there anymore, but there's a webinar every second night if you want to learn about some things. And there's no doubt that some are very good and some are educational, no issue. But also be careful because there's a group of those regular webinars out there that are basically just the top of the funnel to make a sale.
Yeah, with the catchy headline, right?
Oh, yes. And same with people who say they're mentors. There's abundance of property mentors around. Now, some do give great guidance, while others, they're really property sellers. They're marketers in disguise. So I want to make it clear. I think it's important to have mentors. They see your blind spots. They give you guidance. They give you support. They expand the way you're thinking. But my point is, Brett, just be careful who you choose and ensure they've already achieved the results. They've done what you want to achieve, that they've walked where you want to walk, that they know where the landmines are. But I guess one large new group that's coming up, and I know it gets you goat, Brett, is that new wave of buyer's agents.
Yes, well, look, where do I start? I mean, these people, obviously, look, most buyer's agents are really just order takers, to be honest, Michael. They're very good at usually what they do in finding the right property, but they can't devise a plan. They haven't walked the walk. I mean, they may have been an accountant or a dentist or anything for 20 years, and all of a sudden they've done a course, and 2 weeks later they're dealing with $500,000 worth of your money, and they don't have that experience. They're not buying as part of a long-term plan. They're not independent and unbiased. And in my mind, it's critical to have a trusted advisor who's had these decades of experience and started out with the end in mind and then kind of work backwards. And too many people start out with the property, and that's why the buyer's agents are starting to become more popular, I guess.
Well, let's be open, frank, transparent. We have a team of buyer's agents at Metropole. You actually, part of your role as a director of Metropole is to manage that team of buyer's agents, but they don't devise the plan. They implement the plan. I guess they're a little bit like the pharmacist who dispenses the tablets. Once the doctor has prescribed, but the doctor doesn't prescribe until they've actually diagnosed what's wrong.
Look, that's a fantastic analogy, isn't it? Yeah, look, I think that's really good, important. Look, I guess the other thing, Michael, to add to that is that they're experts. They don't buy from the Sunshine Coast to Bendigo and everywhere in between. They specialise in a small select few suburbs and have done so for decades. So I guess that's what we're talking about, having that on-the-ground perspective and knowing the good side of the road from the other, or the area where we're going to get those above-average returns because of high demand and things like that.
So I guess what we're saying is that if you're choosing a buyer's agent, and they should be part of your team, I believe it's important to have a local area expert, not somebody who flies in and flies out. But in my mind, it is critical to have a trusted advisor when making property decisions. It's just too hard to do it on your own. It's not right to, it's too expensive to do by trial and error. There's huge letting fees involved, and we just see it over and over again. People have made mistakes, and there's the fee, could be time, could be money, effort, heartache. But I find it interesting, Brett, that we deal with a whole range of clients at Metropole, from beginning investors to very, very wealthy people. And all the wealthy people have, and they're prepared to pay for trusted advisors in many areas of their life, while the average person's got no advisors, or they get their advice from salespeople, or who they perceive to be advisors, but they're far from independent. However, I found following the teaching and proven system of people who've already achieved what you want to achieve, there's no way of guaranteeing success. It makes it more likely. I know you and I have business advisors, business coaches. I've again joined another very expensive mentoring program on the business side of things. I'm continuously learning. But Brett, there's been a new breed. I think I was the first person I've ever heard to use the word property strategist. That was way back in 2004. Now, everyone calls themselves a property strategist. So tell me, that's part of your role also. What does a property strategist actually do?
Yeah, it's another phrase that's becoming more and more popular. But look, I see my role as a property advisor is really helping our clients to grow, protect and pass on their wealth using property as a vehicle. So while people come to the team at Metropole for property advice as such, they're in fact looking for something else. You know, some are looking for financial freedom, others are looking for more choices in life, you know, working because they want to, not because they have to, and they want to leave a legacy for their family or the community and give back. So property is really just a vehicle they're keen on using to achieve their end goals. And while most property advisors come from a real estate background, the property strategist here at Metropole come from a wealth, financial planning or banking background, but have a good understanding of property and the successful investors themselves, as we spoke about before. They've had that decades, they've walked the talk and they know what it takes to get to that next level. So look, at Metropole, our property strategy job is not to sell clients properties, but to help them safely increase their wealth over the longer term. And something that's really important there is safely lowering the risks and not paying those learning fees that you spoke about a moment ago.
Yeah, it's really interesting because we have lots of really positive reviews on the internet, but I know a couple of days ago you got disappointed when somebody left a negative review. He wasn't even a client, but he came along and he was actually told what he needed to hear rather than what he wanted to hear. And I see that's also part of our job, isn't it, to tell people the truth, not what they want to hear.
Yeah, look, it takes my mind back to a pie chart, Michael, where you know what you know, you know what you don't know, but then there's that other section that you don't know that you don't know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah. Look, it's easy to tell people what they want to hear and go along with what they want, but it's actually quite hard to say, well, look, no, this is not in your best interest, and then trying to educate them and help them understand why. And I think that's a big part of what we do is help those clients who don't know what they don't know and give them the facts, the data, the information, rather than just, you know, spruiking and selling them a property.
Sure. So we're talking about Metropol because that's all we know. But we know there are other good property strategists out there. There are independent people. There are others in the industry who give good advice. And that's really great to be part of that industry. So maybe we should just have a little bit of a talk about what people should expect if they see a strategist, what they can do and what they can't do. Because I think it's important to have a realistic idea of what's going on. So maybe give me an idea of a couple of the things that a good advisor can do or should do.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, Michael, is to actually start with the end in mind. Work out what are we trying to achieve here? Because it is not about property. As we said, property is the vehicle. So we need to understand the client's hopes, their fears, you know, what they're wanting to achieve in the future. And then we can actually get a really good handle on where they are today. I said before, if anyone starts by trying to sell you a property, look, you're probably in the wrong place. We need to really get an understanding of what the long-term financial goal is.
Sure. I think another role of the advisor is to simplify the complex world at the moment. There are so many mixed messages out there. Oh, there's another 1 or 2 years of the property market to go. No, there's not. There's two properties are too expensive. Oh, this area is a good one. No, it's not. So I think a good advisor will clarify the complicated world of wealth creation because it involves actually more than just property. It involves tax, finance, economy, even legal aspects. So they're going to advise clients about the risks as well as the rewards, because if you go to some of those marketers' seminars or webinars, they don't ever mention the risks and the things that can go wrong.
No, and that's something we address fairly early on. And I guess the other thing, Michael, is looking at long-term fundamental analysis, you know, helping people understand they're going to be investing for the next 10, 15, 20 years. And we need to understand that long-term data rather than just that technical, you know, median house price or auction clearance rate or vacancy rate. That's all well and good for a month or two, but that's not going to tell the story over a longer period of time.
Sure. I think the difference also between buyer's agents, and they have a role, and property strategists is while buyer's agents are usually transactional, they're doing a deal, they're making a purchase, a property advisor should actually be part of your long-term journey. It's a long-term relationship, Brett.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something we see, Michael. I mean, we're not a transactional business. We want to help our client through. It's important once we've set that longer-term plan to continue to sit down and discuss where they're. It's almost like a business meeting, Michael, and running a business. You've got to sit down every 6 or 12 months and work out where you are and where you need to be and review your situation and make sure you're moving forward so you're kind of 1 or 2 steps ahead as well.
Also, look, it's natural, it's human. People want to get rich quick. They feel they've missed already the beginning of this cycle. They're looking for a shortcut. They're looking for the next hotspot. But a qualified advisor, they're not going to do that, are they?
No. Look, and again, this comes back to what we talked about before, Michael, telling people what they want to hear versus telling them what they need to hear. And look, understanding that, yeah, sure, we might be able to get you into a great property that's going to do well in the next year. But what happens in 10 years' time if it hasn't moved or hasn't grown in value at all? It's cost you a huge opportunity cost. And that's what we see, unfortunately, with some of our clients as well.
Sure. Now, I think one of the things you've got to be really careful is if somebody has got a property for sale or a list of properties for sale or a stock list or recommends a particular estate, a new house and land estate, so it's not a property, they're not an advisor. They're not on your side. They're not independent. Now, I'm not saying they're good or bad opportunities. I don't know what they've got to sell. What I'm saying is that they, if they've already got a list, if they've got any properties for sale, they're not an advisor.
Well, we see that, don't we, Michael? It's just like, you know, people who are selling out the big house and land or the big apartment blocks, there's a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. And it's not like that. You know, not every property, you know, in that apartment will suit that particular client's needs, wants, desires and longer-term goals. So that's why it's critically important to actually start with the end in mind and then personalize each person's situation to make sure we're working within their budget and it's not just a stock list we're focusing on.
Hey, that's a really good point because I do remember a potential client showing this to me years ago a strategy that was given to him by his, let's call him so-called advisor, and he recommended a new townhouse in a particular estate and he said, this is really good. I know it is because 26 of my clients have bought in that estate. Yeah.
I remember that one.
Wow. You remember that, don't you?
Absolutely.
Wow. This was a big, well-known organization, company that interestingly isn't around anymore. The crisis of last year got rid of a few of these. But I thought, how can every one of your clients have the same need?
I tend to agree, Michael. Look, I guess the other thing as well with those types of people, there's always kind of a hard sell or there's a you know, a push to buy. And I think a strategic advisor and something we do is we never put pressure on our client to make a decision, but we give them our knowledge, we give them our research, our facts, our data, our decades of experience to help the clients select the right property that's, I guess, aligned with their longer-term goals and has the highest and best use of their funds so we can work them over the longer term.
Sure. Now, again, as some people are listening to you and me, they're going to say, oh, this is really just a big plug for Metropol. And of course, we'd love to work with you, but just take the word Metropol out. Just listen to Brett and my years of experience and advice, because we believe you should be asking somebody. And I've already said there's a number of other very good organizations out there. Of course, we'd love you to work with us. But I think this list is important for you to understand so that you know what an advisor should do. And in a moment, I'd like to actually to run with you through a list of things they can't do so people don't get unrealistic expectations. But yeah, I think your last point was a good one, that they don't put pressure on. And I think I've already mentioned that what they should be doing is helping their clients avoid make mistakes, the mistakes that average investors make. And by doing this, the fee that an advisor is going to end up charging you is actually going to be much, much less than the cost of getting it wrong, like buying in the wrong areas or buying in a house and land package, like you said, or off the plan, where there's going to be minimal growth for a decade. And so there's a huge loss in opportunity.
Yeah, and look, don't we hear that a fair bit, Michael? The property's not costing me anything, when in fact, you know, it may not have grown in value in 10 years, and that is a huge opportunity cost in this market.
Oh, boy, isn't it, 100%. So the advisor should be a student of history, a good strategist. As you keep saying, he's going to provide insights, and they're going to, I think at times, make you optimistic when the world is pessimistic and vice versa. So when everyone's over the top, an advisor may actually just bring you down a little bit and say, hang on, don't get carried away. And I think another important point is, you mentioned it earlier, is there's lots of enthusiastic amateurs and they're well-intentioned, but you'd like to be speaking to somebody who's actually done it themselves rather than theorists.
Look, that's a super important point. And I think that's something that people can resonate with. And something I always say to my clients is I would never ask you to do something I haven't already done myself or wouldn't in fact do. And look, as I've talked about, and we know, Michael, we've all done renovations and developments and we've divested and diversified interstate. So that's what I think is critically important. And not a lot of those enthusiastic amateurs have probably even scratched the surface of half of those types of things.
Sure. Now, the answer is you've got to start somewhere and these people will learn. And I guess in a decade, they're going to have the sort of experience that some of our team have got, or two decades your experience. But the trouble is, can you as a potential client take the risk with that?
You don't want to be the person they're getting that experience on, do you, Michael?
Yes, you don't want to be their learning experience. You're right. And I think we've already mentioned that a good strategist is transactional. They're actually going to meet their client regularly, review objectively, because people get too emotionally involved in their properties. They've invested too much time, effort, money, and so they often don't see what's really going on. So I believe a good advisor as you keep saying, will have years of experience, years of perspective. It takes years of learning and investing through a couple of cycles. But let's look at a couple of things advisors can't do, because I think as we discuss this, we're probably going to realize that some property advisors claim they can actually do things on this list I want to talk with you about, things they really can't do. And I guess the reason that they suggest they can do that is because they're not able to deliver on many aspects of the list that we've already discussed, things that skilled, things that professional advisors can deliver. So let's go through the first thing that I think an advisor can't do, and they can't predict the future. They won't be able to tell you how the market's going to perform in the short term. In the long term, we've got some really good ideas of what's going on. In the short term, there's just so many external other factors, emotions in particular. They're not going to tell you exactly when interest rates are going to go up or down. No, I don't think they're going to go down. They're not going to tell you exactly what the capital growth rate is for a particular property. So when clients ask us, well, okay, can you guarantee this property is going to get a capital growth rate of, I'm making up, you know, 7% a year? Well, the answer really is, depends what interest rates are. Depends what stage of the cycle. We actually know that we can outperform the averages by a certain percentage, and we declare that to our clients, but we're not going to say exactly what the future capital growth is. It would be wrong to pretend that we can do so.
Yeah, look, I think as we kind of speak about, Michael, it's much easier to predict what's going to happen over the next decade or two, because you know, property's going to go up, property's going to go down and sideways. There's probably going to be a hiccup or two, or a black swan event in there somewhere, like there always is. But you know, trying to guess the next year or two is impossible. And I think if anything, the last 12 months have taught us that that no one can predict the future.
Oh, sure. So the other thing they can't do is pick the next hotspot for you. There are so many, I guess, so-called advisors who suggest they can. In essence, they give what their clients are wanting. In other words, we've said that a couple of times. They're saying, okay, tell me where to do, tell me what to go, where the next hotspot is, rather than giving sound advice. So I guess what I'm trying to do is go through a couple of things that an advisor can't do. So don't ask them for that. They're not going to predict the future. They're not going to tell you the next hotspot. And even the most qualified advisor won't be able to pick the best time in the cycle to invest, other than remind you that the best time, I guess, was 20 years ago and the second best time is today.
Yeah, look, we say that quite often. I guess the best time is when you're ready. And we all know it's really about time in the market. It's having that decade in the market, going through multiple property cycles when you get to the good times and get that growth in your property. It's not going to be, you know, like I said, trying to get that quick sugar hit.
And I think the other thing a good advisor won't be able to help you with is to get rich quickly or achieve extraordinarily high returns, unless you take on extra risk. But they're out there again. I'm seeing those messages in my inbox and on Instagram where people are offering you to get rich quickly, not just in Bitcoin. I mean, they're all there with Bitcoin, aren't they? But also property. Brett, I bet some people are listening to this and wondering, okay, are these guys recommending we have a chat with the people at Metropole? But I bet in the mind some of them are saying, well, how do you make your money? How do you disclose your fees, your commissions to clients? So let's answer that for them.
Yeah, look, Michael, we're a fee-for-service, so how we get paid depends on the services our client requests. Either way, at Metropole, our fees are always disclosed in full before we start working with a client. We take no commissions from vendors, salespeople, developers, so there's no vested interest, and we have access to every property for sale. Some of our clients pay a fee-for-service for a detailed strategic wealth plan to look at their longer-term goals, and then they pay a success fee after we research, source, and negotiate, and find a secure investment-grade asset that fits into their longer-term plan and their longer-term goals, which has been valued by the bank or sometimes in some cases above what they paid for their investment.
Okay, Brett, so others are going to say, well, how do I know I'm not getting ripped off?
Yeah, look, that's a great question. And you need to find someone who will give you independent, unbiased advice on any particular location or property. And most so-called advisors will only tell you about the properties on their stock list or the buyer's agents who can source in a particular area or a particular state. But look, on the other hand, a trusted advisor will tailor their recommendations to your circumstances. They'll show you all the risks up front as well as the rewards. There's advice is not biased in any property or product. Like I said before, we're 100% independent. And we've got our own team on the ground, experts in that field and experts in that location. There's no fly in, fly out. No one's grabbing any bargains or anything silly like that in, you know, out of town areas and claiming it's a bargain. So I guess one of the first questions I'd ask a potential advisor is, how are they getting paid? We've talked about before following the money. If they're offering free advice or they're being paid by a third party like a developer, then look, you're probably in the wrong place and that they're clearly not independent. Put simply, if the advice is free, then you are the product. And I think you mentioned that before, Michael. So your advisor should be qualified and a member of a recognised organisation such as PIPA, which is the Property Investment Professionals Australia. And I think most importantly, should be a successful investor themselves. They should have a thorough understanding of not only property, but also finance, economics and tax system as far as it relates to real estate and investment. And while they don't have to be an expert in that field, they have to have a team of professionals around them who have the experience just like they do in their expert field to give you the right advice.
Brett, I think that's a really good point. They shouldn't be a solo operator. They do need a team around them. Property investment is a team sport. I bet some people are also thinking, hey, I've already got a financial planner. Do I need a property advisor? Now, again, disclosure, we've got two financial planning companies as part of the Metropole Group, companies with financial planning licenses. I'm not a financial planner. You aren't. When we discuss these topics, it's not financial planning advice. But my answer is simply, yes, you do need to see a property strategist, even if you have a financial planner, because most financial planners aren't able to advise on residential real estate, as we mentioned a little bit earlier on. It's not in their charter of products they're allowed to give information on. Brett, I know because of the very large client base Metropole's got, the very large database we've got, we're often approached by project developers or marketers or spruikers who actually say, hey, look, give us a lead. If you actually give us a lead, we'll give you a commission. And this is how many mortgage brokers, accountants, and financial planners get paid. And as you say, it's important to follow the money. But tell us, how much are they commissioned? Are they prepared to give?
Look, it's quite incredible, Michael. Look, I get offered all kinds of, you know, commissions on LinkedIn or email, and, you know, anywhere from kind of, you know, 10 to 20%, I guess, is the big thing. But obviously, we've never bought or sold this type of property or received any commission like this because obviously we've got a large database and we're obviously getting solicited. But again, it's not that independent advice. And again, we wouldn't have lasted those two decades by, I guess, putting our own interests before our clients. And I guess the other thing is the marketing costs that are built into those prices as well. And that's what, along with the commission and the marketing fees that the investors don't understand, and that's what they're paying for.
So we started with the question, who do you ask for property advice? And I know we spoke a little bit about the team at Metropole, but hey, that's what we do all day and so what we know. And I guess it gives you a benchmark to compare when you're out in the market looking, and we know that it's normal to get advice or look for advice from a number of different sources. And you can do that piecemeal. You can actually go to your accountant and you can go to your buyer's agent, you can go to your property strategist, you can go to the bank and all the rest of the things. But at Metropole, what we try to do is be the central focus point. So when we put a strategic plan together for clients, part of it involves a finance plan. It involves a asset protection and an ownership structure plan. We do speak with our clients about estate planning, if it's appropriate for them, and leaving a legacy, because a lot of people want to. So what I'm suggesting is you look for an advisor who's the central point and has a diverse team around them. We're very lucky that at Metropole we've got the ability to do that. If you're interested in taking advantage of this new property cycle that we're already in but still got long legs to go, whether you're a beginning investor or an experienced investor, just go to metropole.com.au, find out about what we do, and I'd love to be part of your wealth creation journey, and I know you would also, Brett.
Yeah, absolutely. That's our passion and obviously helping people out, and more than welcome to contact at any time.
My pleasure. Thanks for your time, Brett.
Thanks, Michael.
Now here's Michael's mindset message. Remember, a change in your thinking will lead to a change in your life.
Today I'd like to share with you why being wealthy is very different and much better than being rich. Now, I've learned from mentors, and I still have mentors in many areas of my life. I guess I've learned everything from somebody. We all have. And in the early days, I learned a lot from Robert Kiyosaki, author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And while I don't agree with a number of his concepts about real estate, and I don't agree with his thoughts that the financial world is coming to end as we know it, I do like his definition of wealth. You see, many people think that being rich and being wealthy are the same thing. But Robert Kiyosaki taught me that there's a difference between the two. The rich have lots of money, but the wealthy don't worry about money. What this means is that the rich may have lots of money, but they've also got lots of expenses that keep them up at night, or they may have high-paying jobs, but they've still got to go to work every day, and they've got the fear of losing their jobs. There's job insecurity around us, isn't there? On the other hand, the wealthy, they don't have these worries. Why? What's the difference? Well, it depends upon your definition of wealth. And Robert Kiyosaki's definition of wealth was the number of days you can survive without physically working or somebody in your household physically working, yet still maintain your standard of living. For example, if your monthly expenses are $5,000 and you've got $20,000 set aside in savings or an offset account or money somehow or other, your wealth is approximately 4 months. Or 120 days. So according to Robert Kiyosaki, he thought wealth is measured in time, not dollars. And I can see what he's getting at, because there are a lot of people that are rich but not wealthy because they actually don't have assets working for them. They don't have a business working for them. They don't have systems working for them. So my aim in building my wealth was building a cash machine that would churn out money, but it took time as I built an asset base of income producing assets. So ultimately, it's not how much money you make that matters, but how much you keep and how long that money is going to work for you. Every day I meet people who make lots of money, earn a lot of money, but all their money goes out on expenses. Every time they make a little bit more, they go shopping. You know what it's like. The money doesn't last out the month. And others who are earning much more and getting higher incomes buy a bigger house or a new car, and they end up with long-term debt and more hard work. They've got non-productive debt. They've got non-income producing debt. Nothing's left over to go in the asset column. And this is the kind of behavior that separates the rich from the wealthy. Now, like everyone else, I enjoy fine things. I've got nice cars, I've got nice watches, but I don't have to go into debt anymore to purchase them. Rather, I spend the time necessary to be smart with my money. I've worked hard, I've built a business, I've built an investment portfolio that now, today, provides me enough cash flow each month to cover my expenses, including my fun liabilities like my cars and my vacations and my toys. So I don't work for money anymore. My money now works for me. But that takes a long time. It takes delayed gratification. It takes building an asset base that one day will become your wealth machine. So lots of people can become rich, but only financially intelligent people can become wealthy. And that takes a strong financial education. And that's part of what I hope to be giving you through my regular podcasts and my daily property update online magazine. So many people are just playing at getting wealthy, and they've got lots of worries. But if you want to be wealthy, you've got to do things differently to the way the majority of people are doing things. Delay gratification, invest, spend less than you earn, and over the years, build an asset base that will give you choices in life. Thanks for spending the last half an hour or so with me, and I hope you've now got some more clarity about who you can ask for advice in these interesting times in our property market. And I'm going to be back again twice a week with the regular Michael Yardney podcast. But if you got some benefit from today's show and you know somebody else who would benefit from them, please help me in my quest to make as many people financially literate as possible. I want to help more and more people be successful in property investment. So tell somebody about the Michael Yardney podcast or leave us a review wherever you listen to this show. If you want to catch me in between these episodes, just look for Michael Yardney on social media, or why not join my private Facebook group? Go to Facebook and look for the Property Update private Facebook group, where every day I leave tips, charts, information that I don't share elsewhere. I'll be back again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney Podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney Podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?